This is Diana Cordy with Book Talk. My guest is Hilma Wolitzer, author of 15 books, including novels, books for young readers, and a nonfiction book for writers. Among her novels are The Doctor's Daughter and Summer Reading. Her newest book is called Today a Woman Went Mad in the Supermarket. This book is a collection of short stories. Hilma, welcome to Book Talk.
Thank you so much, Diana.
When were these stories originally published?
The stories are very old. The oldest one, I think, is about 55 years old. It was published originally in the Saturday Evening Post as the title story. And the others were mostly in the 60s and the 70s.
What inspired you to put these stories together now?
Well, I wasn't really inspired. My younger daughter, Meg, was. My husband and I both contracted COVID. And we were hospitalized in different hospitals, in separate hospitals. And he died 2 days before I was released from the hospital. And of course, it was a very dark time. And I think my children very much wanted to raise my spirits. And my daughter Meg came up with the idea of collecting these stories and even petitioned my agent about it. Unfortunately, right then I was grieving. I was still feeling ill and I really wasn't interested. But as time went on, I realized I needed something to do and I needed something to look forward to. That was very important. And putting these stories together and writing the new story fulfilled those needs.
Do you have a favorite story in the collection?
Oh, it's like asking which is your favorite child, sort of. I'm fond of the characters more than I am of the stories, and they're sort of responsible for the stories. And I think I like the new story because I brought them into the future of their earlier stories. I brought them into old age and the age of the pandemic. And so it feels very close to what we're living through now.
It is a story of the pandemic.
Yeah, it's been a very rough time, but you know, as a writer, you look to be alone and you look to be isolated, but I never dreamed of this kind of isolation. But I do feel that it happened to an entire world, an entire community of people. So I feel isolated, but I don't feel alone. And pretty much the same way I feel when I'm writing. I feel I'm in the company of my character.
What are you hearing from readers about this book?
Oh, I'm getting a very good feedback. What surprises me is that so many younger readers, young women, are responding to the older stories. In those stories, there are no cell phones. There are no computers. My character is a housewife, as I was. And yet these young, career-driven women find them relatable, which pleases me tremendously. And also that even though they focus on the female characters, the male characters matter too. And I'm hearing from men who seem to like the stories and relate to them as well. Very gratifying.
You mentioned in the book the importance of getting feedback from other writers.
Yes. When I first started writing, I did not know another writer. I had never met another writer. And I joined a fiction workshop at the New School in New York. And suddenly I was hearing a response to my work. Not all of it was very positive and not all of it was very useful, but some of it was really constructive. The first thing that happened was the instructor had me read my story aloud. I was very anxious. I think I read it like a laundry list and I was hyperventilating by the time I was finished. And then the instructor called on one of the other participants for a response. And he said, that was the most boring thing I've ever heard. Well, I was ready to pack it in. I wasn't going to write anymore, except that the instructor sent me a note, which I still have all these years later. And it said, the story is fine. See me later. And he also said to the critic, you may not like the story, but you are obligated to tell her why and suggest how she might make it better. And in that moment, I not only got my courage back, but I also learned how to teach and how to teach a leader's fiction workshop. And when I saw the instructor later, he said, "You belong in an advanced workshop." And he put me in there. And the following week, I read the same story, and they didn't like it either. But they gave me constructive criticism, and that really helped. And I learned, began to learn about revision, which to me is the most important part of writing and the most enjoyable, actually. And I also feel it's important not only to find out what, for the writer to find out what doesn't work in the story, but also to emphasize what does work so that, he or she could go back and make it better by you doing more of the same. And I always ask the same question. Grace Paley always told her students, don't make your story better, make it truer. And I wonder, do I believe what's happening to these characters? Do I care about them? And I ask myself those questions when I'm teaching writing and when I'm writing myself and when I'm reading.
How do you meet your characters?
Well, at the risk of sounding like Joan of Arc, I hear a voice. Usually I begin a story or a novel with a sentence, very much the way poets begin writing, I think. I don't know where it comes from, but if the voice speaks to me and continues to speak, then I continue to write. Sometimes it's a false alarm. And I have lots of false beginnings. I've discarded manuscripts, novels that were almost 75 or 100 pages long. But writers are very thrifty. I find I can make pen wipers and potholders out of those words that I've gotten rid of and use them somewhere else. They seem to fit in somewhere else.
How do you know when you're getting characters that are keepers that you can use in your next book?
When I think about them as people I know and I retain curiosity about them, about their future, I imagine these characters as going on with their lives even at the end of the book. And then, of course, I bring them back as I did in The Great Escape, the final story in the collection.
What's your next project?
Well, I've been writing poems, believe it or not. It may be a filler for me right now before I start something else. I do have a new novel in mind. That's pretty ambitious of me at 91 to think about starting a new novel. Luckily, I'm a fast writer.
So once you start, you're a fast writer.
Yes. Once I get going, I can't stop. I almost can't sleep. The characters wake me up at night and I find a book or a newspaper or something on my night table and I'll just scribble things down that I can't read in the morning. Ideas and sentences come to me while I'm crossing the street. I sometimes write on the palm of my hand with a pen. So I do write quickly.
So once your characters show up in your mind, you write quickly.
Yes. Once they're on their way in their story, I feel that I get the characters tell me their story. And once they start telling me their story, I'm really listening hard.
What do you hope your readers will get out of this new book?
Well, I hope enjoyment first. I hope for some insight into what life was like in the 50s and 60s and 70s, particularly for women and their domestic lives. I think that's really important. And to understand that all politics begin at home. I really think that what happens in kitchens and bedrooms matters just as much as what happens in boardrooms and staterooms. And I think that's where people learn how to be and how to be in the larger world. It's where children begin their lives at home and in school, of course, when they could go to school.
Well, thank you. My guest is Hilma Wallitzer, author of Today a Woman Went Mad in the Supermarket, published by Bloomsbury. This is Diana Cordy with Book Talk.
Thank you so much,